hey, Dad, you got to come downstairs. There's water bubbling out of the shower downstairs. That was my last Saturday night as I was giving our little boys a shower, and Judah comes up pounding on the door, and you got to get downstairs right now because there's something wrong in the house. That's how we discovered that there was a clog in our main drain line. We're trying to get the boys to bed, trying to get them showered, get them to bed, and all of a sudden, there's this issue that springs up out of nowhere. Now, pause for just a moment, and I want to ask you guys, how do you respond in trials and in situations like that? When one minute you're going about your normal day-to-day routine, and the next minute, there's a curveball that's thrown at you. How do you respond in situations like that? Kid breaks their arm, car breaks down, there's a fire in your house or on your property. What do you do when you're the only one that can do something and it has to be done right now? These are those fight or flight moments in life, right? Where you either step up to the challenge, you either stand up and you engage, or you go and curl up in a corner, fetal position, and you just hope that it goes away, right? And sometimes we do both things, if we're being honest. After about 5 minutes of searching, we had identified the problem. We figured out what it was. We called Home Depot. They were still open and able to rent the tool that we needed. 2 hours later, the drain is clear. Water is flowing again. It ended up being not much of a problem, but there was that instant moment, right? That instant panic that sets in, that instant, oh man, what are we going to do? Please, Lord, don't let it get any worse because we don't want to have to clean this up. Thankfully, Judah noticed it before it started spilling out of the shower. He heard the gurgling noise. He walked in. He identified the problem right away. And so we were able to get it fixed easily. As I was driving to Home Depot, I had this thought. I was kind of thinking about the whole situation, this 15-minute drive from my house. So I had a couple minutes just to sit and process, and I had this thought that popped into my head. I was like, well, at least this is an opportunity for me to learn a new skill. I've never done this before, never even considered it before, never think about the water as it leaves my house, and yet I had this opportunity in this moment to learn a new skill. As I was thinking about that, then there was kind of a joy that welled up inside of me, not because I was looking forward to the opportunity, but I knew that at some point I was going to be able to, the next time this pops up, I would be better equipped to fix the problem, and I knew I was going to have a good sermon illustration. So it's a win-win, right? And in that moment, there was this joy that welled up inside of me, not because the problem was fixed, but because I was able to reframe that problem in my mind. And I realized that you know what? Worst case, I'm going to have to call a plumber. It's after hours. They're going to charge me a whole bunch of money. But you know what? God has enabled me to have a little bit of savings. I can probably pay this bill. And at the end of the day, I know that this is going, it's not like my house is going to fill up with water and I'm going to have to move out. You know, at the end of the day, I can get through this. So I was able in that moment to reframe the problem in a positive light. And so the question I have for you today then is it's not about what trials are you going through, but instead what skills do you need to develop? What skills do you need in order to get through the trials that are happening in your life? If you're able to make the best of an unfortunate situation, then you can find that maybe there's a better way to do things if you ask the question, what skills do I currently need to develop? I've got a video that we're going to play on the screen behind me, and we can go ahead and keep the sound off because I'm going to talk over the top of this video, but let's go ahead and play the video right now. I want you to think about what it looks like when a child learns to walk. This is a video that was done, kind of a time lapse over a period of time where this baby is learning how to walk, you can see that at first she has a hard time even standing up on her legs because she just hasn't developed the muscle mass yet necessary in order to be able to stand up. But now, as we continue to make our way through the video, now she's standing on her own. As you continue to watch her, she gets pretty good at standing. But now the next step of being able to transfer your mass from one foot to another without falling down, that balance problem pops up, and you start by standing assisted, you start by pulling yourself up, standing unassisted. Now look at her as that was not helpful. But she's learning, right? She's getting balance, she's figuring things out, she's starting to try to take steps, but the whole time you notice there's a smile on her face as she's learning how to tackle this problem literally one step at a time. And now here we see the aftermath of this as she is now walking. Such a cool example, honestly, of what it means to go through something, in this case, learning a new skill, and to overcome just based on your persistence. What she needed was she needed persistence, she needed support from others, she needed the modeling of others, she needed to see other people's example as they're walking around, she needed frustration with her current mobility. We had one of our kids learned how to army crawl, right? So pulling themselves along on their elbows with their legs dragging behind them on the ground, that army crawl motion, and refused to walk for the longest time because they were so fast at scooting around on the ground that every time they let go of the couch, well, how am I going to get across the room? I'm not going to walk. I'm going to get down. I'm going to army crawl across. So you need, if you're going to learn a new skill, you need a certain level of frustration with where you're at in order to improve. And then what you saw the family doing there was they were celebrating the small wins. They're clapping for her, occasionally pushing her over, and encouraging her until she learned how to walk. So what are the areas of frustration that you have in your life? What are the things in your life that are going on that you would say, I need to learn a new skill in this area of my life? Is it something in your career that you say, I'm just constantly dealing with something. There's constantly something that is eating at me. This takes way too long. It's way too frustrating. I need to learn something new in order to be able to do my job better and more efficiently. Is it something in your home life, where you are frustrated? Maybe it's trying to get your kids to do chores. Maybe it's trying to get all of the chores done every day. Maybe there's something else in your home life that you're just frustrated by and you're trying to figure out, and there's this frustration that's been building inside of you. Maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe you're frustrated at the way things are going. Maybe you're frustrated with trying to read the Bible. You're trying to dive in to what God has for you, and yet you're just not sure if you can make it work. And so you just get frustrated. You start reading. You get kind of tired. You give up, and your spiritual life just isn't clicking the way you wanted it to. The truth is, we're going to continue to bump up against the same ceilings in life until we commit to learning new things. But here's the thing, you don't have to take my word for it. In fact, the Bible calls this out in the book of James. So we're going to turn over to James chapter 1 now, and we're going to read this together in just a minute. James chapter 1. And while I've got this opportunity, I'm going to look back at Dennis. Do I need to switch microphones again? No. Okay. I'm getting a no sign, but it's not touching the side of my mouth. So, okay. Microphone issues are a perfect opportunity for us to learn some new skills, right? Amen. Okay. James chapter 1. Hopefully you guys are there. If not, we'll have the words on the screen behind me. It says this. It says, consider it pure joy. Everybody say pure joy. Pure. One more time. Say pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, this is a tough thing to do when you're bumping up against a problem, when you get that knock on the door, when you go to start your car and nothing happens, when that frustration level just continues to increase, and you're like, God, why am I going through this? Why now? Why can't things just be smooth in my life? But James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's the truth that we need to think about today is that the road to maturity runs right through the trials that we have in life. The road to maturity runs right through the trials of life. If we want to, there's other translations that use the word perfect. If we want to become perfect, if we want to become mature believers, we have to go through hard things in life. All of us want a testimony. We want to be able to say, look where God has taken me from. Look where God is taking me to. All of us want a testimony, but we don't want a test. We don't want that problem to pop up in our life. We don't want that issue that we're trying to resolve. We just want to brag on it when it's over. There's no shortcut. There's no way around this. The road to maturity runs through trials. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't answer your prayers sometimes? Have you ever wondered why you continue to sit in the same mess? Maybe God is trying to teach you something. Have you ever watched somebody else go through a trial and you wonder how they navigate with a smile on their face, with grace and with confidence in God? It's almost like they look mature, right? You see them, they're going through something. You know that what they're going through is difficult, it's hard, and yet they go through it with such a confidence, with such a grace, with such a joy in their spirit that you're like, you know what? They just look so mature. Whatever the trial, the destination is maturity. Whatever the trial, God is trying to bring us somewhere that is better than where we are right now. Whatever the trial, the destination is maturity. Because we're learning to walk, we're learning to run, we're learning to control our emotions, we're learning to fix things that are broken, we're learning to apologize when we've done wrong, we're learning to forgive others. All of these things help us grow. All of these things help us become more like who Jesus is. If we're learning to love like Jesus, we want to do the things that he did, we want to say the things that he said, but we don't get there just by deciding one day that this is what we're going to do. No, it takes perseverance. It takes going through these trials, pushing through, and becoming more like Jesus day in and day out. The Bible calls this process sanctification. The Bible says that as we get saved, but then we're sanctified, we're becoming more like Jesus every day, day in and day out. So how do we learn the things that God is trying to teach us? James 1:5 says it like this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If any of us lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. So when you find yourself in this trial, when you find yourselves in these problems of life, we want to begin to ask God for wisdom. And the Bible says that when we do, he's going to pour out generously upon us the wisdom that we need in whatever situation we're going through. Amen. Whenever we're going through a trial, we want to take it to God. The truth is, I often go to God when I'm in a hard time, when I'm trying to figure something out, when my drain is plugged up, and I oftentimes take just that 1 minute, that one breath, that one pause, just to say, God, I need your help in this. God, I don't know what to do. God, I've never come across a situation like this before. God, I need your help. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to direct me to the right Reddit page that's going to help me figure out what the issue is in my life. Amen. And God, show me the right YouTube video. Just pop it up on my phone right now so that I know, so that I can have the wisdom that I need in order to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. Many of you know that we have two special needs boys that we have, and we experience this regularly. This is something that we are constantly working on. And what the truth is, the way it looks like this. We try something, it fails. We try something again. We've got a small win, but then eventually it fails. We go to God in prayer. We're like, God, show us something. We listen to a podcast. They give us another tip. We try it. It doesn't work out. And it feels like sometimes you're on this cycle, but eventually, over the years, we start to realize that we're actually gaining some skills here. We're actually learning some things. We're actually, I feel bad for my older kids because I feel like we're much better parents right now than we were 15 years ago. The truth is, 15 years ago, the only tools I had were a carrot and a stick, right? And if bribery didn't work, then I had a tool that I was going to pull out that I knew would work. And sometimes they get frustrated with me because they wonder why we don't use the stick more now. But it's because I've got a whole tool chest now. I've got a whole set of tools. I love that Pastor Tiffany was able to do a parenting class in our last small group session because she was able to share so many of the tools that we've acquired. Now, some of them didn't work for us. Some of them, we got in there, we realized pretty quick that it was the wrong tool for the job, but we still filed it away, and we still kept it. And then when she was going through that parenting class, she was able to offer things, hey, this didn't work for me, but it might work for you. I'm going to hand you this tool. I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to teach you this. And she was able to do that. But also, here are some things that have worked for me. And let me share this with you so that you can find and so that you can try something so that you can work on it. Now, it would not be fair of me to stand up here and say that we've arrived. And I don't want to hint at that. But I do believe that as we've grown, we're getting better and better. We're becoming more like the parents that Jesus wants us to be. And I think that that's true in every area and every situation of life. Again, whether it's career-related, whether it's something with your family, whether it's something in your relationships, whether it's something at church, we are learning to become more like the people that Jesus wants us to be. The Bible says, consider it pure joy when you go through trials, because the testing of your faith produces the willpower, the strength, the stick-to-itiveness to overcome these trials. And when you go through a hard time, we want to lean on God. We want to take these things to God. We want to ask God because he's going to give us the wisdom that we need to go through it. Could God snap his fingers and that coworker is gone? Yes, he could. Could God snap his fingers and all of a sudden your spouse is just everything you wanted them to be? Yes. Could God snap his fingers and the garbage miraculously takes itself out? Yes. But as we go through these trials, in fact, garbage is a good one. Garbage is a good example because a lot of us, we find ourselves getting frustrated with either our spouses or our kids. You know, why won't you take the garbage out? I asked you to do that a half hour ago. But what we're doing in these moments is there's something that's happening in both of us where we're learning how to communicate. We're learning how to say things in a different way that will help them to understand. Now, sometimes, like I said before, sometimes it takes the carrot or the stick, right? I'll pay you $5, or if you don't get that trash taken out right now, then I'll let you guys fill in the blank, however you would address that. Sometimes it does take that kind of direct, clear communication, but you're learning how to communicate. You're becoming better as you do it. The truth is that trials are God's chisel shaping us into who he wants us to be. Trials are God's chisel that shape us into who he wants us to be. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, does God want us to suffer? Does God want us to suffer? What if the answer to that question is yes? Let me ask that one more time, and I want you guys to think about this. Does God want us to suffer? What if the answer to that question is yes? What if the answer to that question is yes? Think about the trials. Think about the things that you're going through right now. What if the answer to the question is yes, God does want you to go through this? He says, you see, I don't think God particularly wants us to be happy. I think he wants us to love and to be loved. I think he wants us to grow up. You see, we are like children who think that our toys bring us all the happiness that there is. and that our nursery is the whole wide world. We think that the area that we're in, that the life that we're currently involved in is designed to bring us happiness, and that this is all that there is to life. But, he says, something has to drive us out into the world of others, and that thing is suffering. Put simply, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We are like blocks of stone from which the sculptor carves a form. The blows of his chisel, which hurt us so much, are what makes us perfect. And if you think about it, if you think about a sculptor that's sculpting a block of marble into something, what they have to do, the first thing they have to do, is they have to put hammer and chisel to stone to start breaking pieces off of it. And for a lot of us, we're the same way. Now, we wish that God could just tell us what he wants from us, right? We wish that God would just show up one day, angel of the Lord stands in front of us, says, hey, you need to correct this thing in your life. But the truth is, even when we have the word of God exposing these things to us, we don't always pay attention. We don't always listen to what God is saying. So God introduces suffering. God introduces pain. God introduces frustration in our life. Just like that little girl that we watched learning how to walk, we introduce this level of frustration with our current situation that inspires us, that drives us, that pushes us to be better. And that's what God wants for us. I was introduced this week to the story of a lady named Annie J. Flint. How many of you have ever heard the name Annie J. Flint before? Okay, you might have heard at least of some of the stuff that she's done. So few have experienced agony like Annie Johnson Flint. Both of her parents died during childhood, so she grew up an orphan. But fortunately, she was raised in an adoptive family who taught her the scriptures, taught her to read, write, and to create music. She was born, by the way, in 1866. Even then, though, Annie's childhood dream of becoming a concert pianist was quickly dissolved when she developed rheumatoid arthritis in her early 20s. The arthritis was so severe that by Annie's 30th birthday, she could no longer walk. Her hands were disfigured, her body was twisted, and she was rarely able to sleep because of the extreme discomfort she experienced throughout her joints. Though her physical body deformed with each passing year, Christ was powerfully being formed in Annie through her agony and suffering. Despite the intense pain it brought to her contorted fingers, Annie became a prolific writer and poet. The dominant theme in Annie's writing was that of God's goodness. So somebody that was constantly living in pain, somebody that was constantly struggling in life. In fact, after she was, you know, while she was in her 30s and for the rest of her life, she lived in either a bed or a wheelchair, just going back and forth between the two for big periods of time. She would not see anybody except for her caretakers. But she started this ministry where she would start writing poems and sending cards to the people that were closest to her. Eventually, that developed into them wanting cards sent to other people, and she began this ministry of connecting with people all over the world through the cards, through the poems that she would write. The truth is, though, is that Annie wasn't always positive. In fact, we would consider her to be a realist as you read her writing. She was ruthlessly honest about life's difficulties. She refused to gloss over pain and suffering, and in her poetry, she never minimized the experience of living in a world that was marred by sin. But Annie also resisted the equally perilous tendency to become cynical and pessimistic. She, better than most, wrote with one eye on the present hardships and the other eye on God's eternal goodness and purposes in them. By doing so, she lifted her readers' hearts above the present misery to catch glimpses of God's steadfast love and sovereign wisdom in their trials, as well as offering the assurance of the nearness of God in every tribulation. She wrote many poems, many hymns. One of them was the hymn titled, He Giveth More Grace. Now, a lot of you guys were raised singing this song. I don't know it, so I'm not even going to pretend to try and sing it, but the words are astounding to me, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage, and don't worry, they're not going to try and sing it either. Verse 1 says this, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace." Now, how many of you would love to find in your life and have it be true of you that there is more grace, more strength, more mercy, and more peace operating in your life? All of us would. If we looked at our lives right now, we would say, God, I need more grace. I need more strength. I need more mercy. I need more peace. But these things come during our trials. These things come as we're tested. She says in verse 2, "When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when strength has run dry and day is half done, when we reach the end of our earthly resources, our Father's full giving has only begun." When we've gone to the end of our rope, when we've reached our limit, when we've found ourselves just barely hanging on, that's when God has just started to operate in our lives. God has something for us today. And then the chorus of this wonderful hymn, "Grace all sufficient, grace given for free, grace all sufficient for our every need." Today, as we close and as we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to begin to ask God, what are the skills that we need to learn? What are the trials that we're going through in life? What are the skills that we need to learn? And really to say, God, don't let me miss this opportunity to become more mature. Because the truth is, if we go through this trial and we fail at it, we're going to bump into that same thing again. And we're going to continue bumping into the same frustration over and over again in different forms and different ways until we learn to overcome the trial that we're going through. This is what God has for us. This is why James called it pure joy. Because God wants to show us, God wants to give us something that we couldn't receive any other way. One last thought as we close. James chapter 1 verse 12 says this. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the one who sticks with it when they feel like everything is falling apart around them. Blessed is the one that has joy, that has confidence, that has peace in trials of life, because having stood in the test, having stood firm when everything was falling apart around us, having clung to God in the hard times of life, he says, because we have stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Here's the truth that I want us to hear today, is that our trials are temporary. Our trials are temporary. The thing that you're going through right now is not a permanent thing. That as we learn, as we develop skills, even if you feel like you're trying and failing, you're trying, you got a setback, you take two steps forward, you take one step back, you don't understand why you just can't break through, every time you're learning something new, every time you're seeing God in a new light, your trials are temporary, but there is a reward for you that's eternal. There's something that God wants you to have at the end of it all. There is a promise waiting for you as we learn to mature, as we learn to get better in life, as we learn, as we allow the sculptor to work on us, we get better, we grow more and more. So if you're going through a trial today, the most important thing I want you to know is that God is on your side. Isaiah 41:10 says it like this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Whatever you're going through today, God wants to be with you. He wants to hold on to you. He wants to help you get through these things in life. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had today to learn and to press in, God, to the trials of life. God, I pray that right now you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would show us an area of our life, God, a frustration that we're dealing with, something that you want to speak into today. God, I believe that you are here in this place. God, I believe that you have a word for each of us that you want to accomplish. And Lord, right now, I just ask that, Father, you would help us to give those things over to you again. Like your word says, to ask for wisdom, because we know that you will pour out wisdom on all who ask. As we continue in this atmosphere of prayer this morning, I just want to give an opportunity right now for those of you that don't know Jesus, that you haven't taken that first step of asking him into your heart. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Maybe you're watching us online or you're here in person. We believe that God is the ultimate source of wisdom. But in order to tap into that source of wisdom, we have to have a relationship with him. So as Christians are praying all across this place, I just want to ask you right now, do you want to have a relationship with Jesus so that he can help you through the trials of life? What we're going to do is, in just a minute, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to have you raise your hand. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm going to have you raise your hand high. And then once we've prayed a prayer together, I want you to fill out one of the next steps cards. Check the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Or if you're watching us online, click the link that's in the chat so that we can connect with you, because we believe that this is the first step in your journey. And we want to walk with you through all of the trials of life, because God is with us, but also God has created us as a body where we can strengthen and encourage each other, where we can walk with each other through the joys and the frustrations of life. So if you're in here today or you're watching online and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to have you raise your hand all across this place. Ready? One, two, three. If there's anybody in here, you want to accept Jesus into your heart, just go ahead and raise your hand high right now. Anybody in here? Anybody in here? I see one hand down on the front. Anybody else? You want to accept Jesus into your heart today? Anybody, if you're watching online, make sure to click the link in the chat. All right. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing here. God, we just pray that your spirit, Lord, would continue to speak to us, God. And God, I pray now, as we take this opportunity to respond to you, God, I pray that you would give us boldness to take a step of faith this morning. God, to take a step towards you, believing that we can lay down our frustrations and we can access the wisdom that you have for us in dealing with the things that we go through. Father God, I just pray that right now, You would speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could have the prayer team go ahead and come forward, we're going to have them situated right over here. We're going to sing the song, Graves into Gardens, one more time, because the lyrics of it go right along with what we're talking about today. It says, you turn mourning to dancing. This is the bridge of the song. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever the frustration, whatever the trial, God wants to turn those things around for your good. He wants to turn your mourning into dancing today. He wants to give you strength to go through the trials of life today. So we're going to have the worship team go ahead and lead us in this song. If you want prayer, I'm going to be down front. We've got our prayer partners down front today. We would love to pray with you. We would love to encourage you. Otherwise, let's just take a couple minutes right now to give up our frustrations, to give up these trials, to give up these things, and to ask God, God, what new skill are you trying to develop in me so that I can become more like you? Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet, and worship team, let's lead us in the song.